So the path that will deliver us to freedom is the path of Sila, Samadhi and Dhamma. Sila means, for the lay people, the 5 precepts, and for the monks, the 227 rules, or all of the Vinaya. It's one part of the path of practice. It is necessary that we try our best to keep within the refinements of the sila, of the precepts. That means if you are in doubt, that is something, or not sure, that is something not within the limits, then we just don't do it. Or we don't say it, or we don't think. This means keeping the sila to one's best ability. Samadhi is the second part. Or it's the second column of our practice. Samadhi means concentration. Means mindfulness. Means awareness. Developing mindfulness. Developing awareness. Developing concentration. This is the part of samadhi. In worldly terms, it is comparable of sharpening the knife of our kitchen tool in order to cut up the vegetables or the meat. This is the purpose of samadhi. It gives us mindfulness, it gives us concentration. That means we can hold on to one point. And that's why when we train samadhi, we hold on to one point only. We're not going here and there. We hold on to this one point. When we do our breathing exercise, or when we have the meditation object of the breath comes in and the breath goes out at the tip of the nose, then we just stay at the tip of the nose. Very gently, but very firmly as well. Determined not to get off. Not to follow the breath, but just to stay there at the tip of the nose, and observing the breath coming in and the breath coming out. That's all what we need to do. We don't need to follow the breath, because if you follow the breath, we don't catch the next in-breath. It is just like an example, like Lungta Mahabhor says, when you are a warden of a museum, you are standing at the door, you just observe the people coming in, the people coming out. If you are going after the people, you do not catch the other people going out and going in. That's why you stay at the door. And that's why we stay at the door at the tip of the nose. That's the reason. We want to know what is going in, and we want to know what is going out. And that holds for everything. When we are at the level of the heart, then it means also, we want to know what is coming in. What sense data? Is it vinyana? Is it feeling? Is it body? Is it memory? Or is it association? Or is it thinking? We just want to know. We don't follow the thoughts. We don't follow the feelings. We just know it. The knowing nature is the true quality of our heart. That's where we want to get at. And that's where this exercise is going to get us. I hope I make this clear. You should understand it. This is the only way how we get it. But it's yet so difficult to start just to stay at one point. It is the most simple task in the whole world. But we can't do it. We cannot stay for 3 seconds on that point. There is a thought coming in, or there is a feeling coming in, and that distracts us immediately and leads us off the path. And all what we have to do is gently bring it back. Catch our mindfulness and bring it back to our meditation object. And that's what we're doing in the beginning. We bring it back and bring it back and bring it back and bring it back, and don't worry how often we have to bring it back. Maybe we have to bring it back 1 million times. Maybe we have to bring it back 1 billion times. Don't worry. We can stop only when it stays there. When it stays there, it means that we have a certain amount of concentration. We have a certain amount of awareness. And that's what we were going to develop. If we're constantly running off and running about, then we don't catch anything. We don't know anything. We only follow our kilesas, you know, that wants this or wants that. They're always diversified. They're going here and they're going there, and if we follow them the whole day long and the whole night long, they go through the whole universe. And then they come back and they go again. So, with the training of samadhi, with the training of mindfulness, staying at the tip of the nose, that's where we keep our attention on one point, to make it one point. And if you're successful, you can reach three kinds of samadhi. The first stage of samadhi is kanika samadhi, or momentary samadhi. For a very short moment, we just drop into a state of one-pointedness. We immediately come back out, and that is called momentary samadhi. The second type of samadhi is upacara samadhi or access samadhi. That means that we are going into a world that is beyond thoughts. It means that we are going into an area and safe haven. A safe place where we are not attacked by the kilesas anymore. It is like being in a storm and seeing a glass house, going inside the glass house, close the door behind us, and then we feel safe because we don't get drenched by the rain and we don't get hit by the lightning. Or if you're a ship on the high waves and then find a haven, then you go into the haven, and for that time you feel safe. The moment you go back out into the ocean, you feel unsafe. Your ship is going up and down, up and down, up and down. But this safe haven, that is called samadhi, or upacara samadhi, access samadhi. Our thoughts stop it. We are going into a realm that is called beyond thoughts. It's a realm of experience. When we are in this realm of experience, we don't worry about all this experience, but we keep on concentrating on our breath, or we keep on concentrating on the word Buddha, 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 until the word Buddha cannot be repeated anymore, or until the breath disappears. Once the breath disappears, or once the word Buddha disappears, or we cannot think it anymore, then we concentrate, or we put our concentration on what knows that the breath has disappeared, or what knows that we can't even think this Buddha. Actually, the mind is completely concentrated. The mind concentrated in, just like you focus the rays of the sun through a magnifying glass. It is concentrating on one point, and imagine the power of that concentration. It's just like the power if you use a magnifying glass and put it on a piece of paper. When you catch the rays of the sun, it immediately burns up. And so is the power of concentration for us. You really feel it. It's getting really powerful. Once we get into the state of one-pointedness, everything disappears. The first thing to disappear is our body. The second thing to disappear is the whole world. That means not only the world, but the whole universe. And all what is left is knowingness. And this is called the deep state of samadhi, or apana samadhi. You can also call it the preview of nibbana, or the nibbana of the run out of the mill person. It's the same thing. We can do it if we put all our effort and determination not to let the mind wander off the meditation object. Got it? Not to let the mind wander off the meditation object. If we put all our determination, all our effort in this task, then we have to experience, then we have to find our way to apana samadhi. If just for a minute or just for a second we let the mind wander off here and there, Then it comes back, completely aflame, completely burst into fire and explosion. And it will ruin our world. So remember this very well. This is the path, or this is the column of samadhi. Concentration, mindfulness, but better call it awareness. Awareness of what is going in and what is going out. When we watch a breath, or awareness of the word Buddha. Is the Buddha repetition fast, or is the Buddha repetition slow? Is the Buddha shallow, or is the Buddha deep? And just the same thing holds true for the breath. Is the breath deep, or is the breath shallow? Is the breath long, or is the breath short? Is the in-breath longer than the out-breath, or is the out-breath longer than the in-breath? These are all knowing faculties of the citta. The citta knows if the breath is short. We don't have to think it, this breath is short. We know it that the breath is short. Or we know it that the breath is shallow. So we want to get, the whole point of this exercise is to get to the knowing faculty of our heart, to the knowing faculty of our citta. Remember this, the knowing faculty of our citta. And that is all what is left in the deep state of samadhi, the knowing faculty. There is no object. And there's no observer. As long as we do our meditation, then there will be always the object and the observer. The observer is the knowing faculty. And the object is our object of concentration. Be it the word Buddha, or be it the breath at the tip of the nose, or if you want it, you can combine. Put with breathing in, or do with breathing out. Oh. So. In the last column, it's a column of wisdom. Wisdom is the only thing that can deliver us to freedom. But without the help of sati, but without the help of samadhi, and without the help of sila, we cannot use it, or we cannot develop it. Just imagine, you have a fresh fish, it's still alive, and you have a knife, and you want to cut off his head. You don't hold it tight, you know you cannot cut off the head. You just hack and hack and hack and hack, and the fish just windles forth and windles back. You will not even touch it. But if sati, and sati is just in this example, just like the hand who grabs the fish very tight. The moment the fish cannot do this or that, cannot wiggle anymore, then we can cut off the head very easily. So, sila, the precepts, is keeping our heart at rest, at peace. And that's what we need. We need a heart that is peaceful to be able to develop concentration and to be able to develop wisdom. If our heart is not pure, then this filth of the heart will come into our mind and will destroy our practice. If we have done this in the past or that in the past, that will certainly come up in our practice. Then we have to deal with it. If it's a past, that's fine, you know, just leave it off. Say sorry if you have done something, or remember, I'm not going to do this anymore. And then leave this topic aside. So sila, samadhi, and panya work together. If we have no sila, we don't even need to develop sati and panya. We don't need to develop samadhi and wisdom. We will just not have the ability to. If we have enough sila, we can develop it. And of course, samadhi helps developing sila even further. When we are mindful of what we are doing. That shows us if we keep in within the realms of sila or not. If we have wisdom, then we can get on to some more difficult stuff, undermine some more difficult stuff that we want so much, something that is without the limits of sila. So these three work hand in hand. We cannot just say, you know, we raise one column. Our sila is perfect. even if we don't have any samadhi and if we don't have any wisdom, we can't have perfect sila. If our samadhi is perfect, we cannot have perfect samadhi without sila and panya. And we cannot have perfect panya without sila and samadhi. So they're all together. That's why it's called the Eightfold Path. No path can be missing. The Eightfold Path normally is comprised in sila, samadhi, and panya. We cannot neglect one of them. That means if we are in our practice, for instance, if we are practicing samadhi, and our samadhi doesn't go further, then most probably the problem lies within sila, that we are doing something that is constantly bothering the heart, constantly agitating the heart, constantly upsetting the heart. Then we have to look with a little bit of wisdom into our heart, what is wrong? Why can't our heart calm down? And it's the same thing with panya. If our panya doesn't give any results, then it's most probably because of our samadhi, of our concentration, it cannot hold onto one object. So we have to develop this. And we have to develop this in treedom. Treedom means all three of them we have to develop properly at the same time. That doesn't mean at the same time, at the same session, but it means within times. It can be that we would develop samadhi for a week and then we go on and look at our wisdom and look at our sila to improve that. Or when we do wisdom, we do investigation for a week, and then we're going to get rest in samadhi and look at our sila. That's what it means. Working in treedom. When we do investigation, it is most helpful if we rest our mind always once a day. And it's most helpful if we reflect about our day, what happened. That means wisdom. Wisdom and sila. We reflect about our day, what happened today, what was good, what was bad, what needs to be corrected, and what needs to be let out. The samadhi will progress smoother, wisdom will progress smoother, and our sila becomes more fortified. So, and with this short talk, I just end now.